This is Reese Tisdall, CEO of Bluefield Research. You're listening to the Water Values Podcast.
The Water Values Podcast is sponsored by the following market-leading companies and organizations. By Woodard & Curran, high-quality consulting engineering, science, and operations services. By Intera, innovation and stewardship for a sustainable tomorrow. By Xylem, let's solve water. By the American Water Works Association, dedicated to the world's most important resource. By Black & Veatch, building a world of difference. By 120 Water, new rules need new tools. By Advanced Drainage Systems, our reason is water. And by 1898 & Co., possibilities powered by experience. This is session 264.
Welcome to the Water Values Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to water utilities, resources, treatment, reuse, and all things water. Now here's your host, Dave McGibson.
Hello and welcome to another session of the Water Values Podcast. As my daughter Sarah said, my name is Dave McGibson, and thank you for joining me. And thank you again for your support over the last 10 plus years. We have a terrific show for you today. Josh Cantone, Managing Director for Suez Digital Solutions North America and the CEO of Suez's Optimatics, as well as Patrick Kearney, the CEO of Subeca, team up to deliver a fantastic interview for you that explores the smart meter market, describes the cost-effective and easy-to-implement solution for water utilities that Subeca has developed, and provides a peek behind the curtain of a Series A investment in the water sector made by Suez and some other investors in Subeca. And Josh and Patrick just knock it out of the park. It's a really interesting interview, and you're really going to enjoy it. Well, as you know, we always say thank you to our awesome sponsors at the top of every show, and we have a fantastic cadre of sponsors this year. Our sponsorship lineup includes Woodard & Curran, Intera, Xylem, the American Water Works Association, Black & Veatch, 120 Water, Advanced Drainage Systems, and 1898 & Co. That is a terrific collection of impactful companies that have affirmatively decided to support water industry, thought leadership, and education, and I thank you all. And I'd like for you, the listener, to please do me a favor. If you work for or with any of those sponsors, please thank your boss or thank your contact at the sponsor firm and tell them you appreciate their leadership in the industry through the sponsorship. You'd be surprised how far that simple little note of thanks will go. And as long as you're letting the sponsors know you appreciate their support of water industry education and thought leadership, hey, why not leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whatever other podcast directory you're accessing the podcast on? It'd be greatly appreciated and helps others find out about the podcast. And also, please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Yes, I understand that might be a little important. Well, now it's time for the main event, our interview with Josh and Patrick. So let's get that water flowing. Well, Patrick and Josh, welcome to the Water Values Podcast. Great to have you on. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks, David. Appreciate you having us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely, guys. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Before we get into the conversation in earnest, let's have a little background on how you guys came to the water sector and what your background is. And Josh, let's start with you just so we don't have an issue of speaking over one another.
Yeah, for sure. So I actually grew up in Australia. You might be able to gather that from the accent. But I grew up in Australia and I went to university, the University of Adelaide, and was actually my brother, who is also an engineer, that sort of led me into the water industry. I took up a consulting position straight out of university and began working on helping with stormwater management and design of stormwater reclamation facilities in Adelaide in Australia. And at that period in time, Australia was going through a pretty bad drought in the early 2000s. And so it was a very, hot topic in terms of the Australian media, and was certainly something that I was passionate about getting into and working on. And so that sort of gave me my first step into the water industry and actually pushed me to apply to really study more about urban hydrology and hydraulics. And that's what brought me to the US. So I moved to the US when I was 22 in 2005 and started a PhD at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, one of the premier schools for urban hydrology and hydraulics here in the US.
Excellent. Patrick, how about you?
Similar, little bit of a similar story, although my brother didn't bring me into it. I was an undergrad mechanical engineer, and in the late 80s, and the environmental movement in the market was kind of coming around, and ended up getting an internship with Tye and Bond in Massachusetts, and just kind of fell in love with the environmental, engineering space, and changed my major, and ended up spending about 30 plus years in consulting engineering, largely with Blaslin Balcon Lee, which then we sold to Arcadis. And so I spent 23 years combined between Blaslin Balcon Lee and Arcadis in the Netherlands, and both just fantastic companies. But then, David, people always say, you kind of reinvent your career and stay relevant. So I had the opportunity to leave Arcadis. And I was a corporate employee for much of my career doing global corporate development work for Arcadis, and left there to join Amazon as the head of the water vertical for Amazon Web Services, and which was a great, great position, but it, total cliche. You go to big tech for 3 years and then you leave to do a startup CEO role. and so I did that in May of last year.
Got it. So where did you land? Where was your transition from the tech world to CEO world?
Well, it was, so Sebeca was one of my startup partners when I was at AWS. So I had been working with them for about 2 years. The pretty interesting architecture. They kind of caught the eye of the IoT team at Amazon. And so they were just one of our startup partners. They were a beta release partner for IoT Core for LoRaWAN, and then as well for Amazon Sidewalk. So, and we can probably talk a little bit more about Sidewalk later on.
Yeah. So what does, tell us a little more about Sebeca. What, when we think about Sebeca, what are we going to be talking about?
Yeah, so I think people confuse Sebeca a little bit because one of our first products is a meter product, right? So they think of us as a meter company, and we're really not. We're actually a tech company. We come to these problems, to these challenges, from a tech standpoint. So the question we ask ourselves all the time is, what if a water utility or a water customer could get all the information they needed at any time? That's kind of a tagline internally. And so we really specialize, David, in getting data from one place to the other. We specialize in the communications between field deployed devices and getting that data somewhere useful. And that's where I think our real expertise is.
Got it.
So we're an IoT company that is 100% focused on water.
Got it. All right. So Josh, where does Suez fit into all this? Why am I having both you and Patrick on at the same time for a joint interview?
Yeah. So, Patrick and I have known each other for a little while. My background since I've been in the US has predominantly been at Optimatics, and Optimatics is a company that's built on AWS, and we run on AWS. And so Patrick, through his role at Amazon, we worked with him on the Optimatics side of things. And Optimatics, as some of you will know, was acquired by Suez in 2018. And so since that time, I've been working with Suez. My role now is more broadly focused on selling, marketing, and delivering Suez digital solutions here in the North American market. And so, part of the Suez approach and strategy is to bring expertise from other places in the world that they've had success and bring it into other geographies. And so one of the leading offerings from Suez globally is in the smart metering space. Suez has deployed more than 6 million meters globally, predominantly in France and Spain and other places. And we were looking for an opportunity to enter the smart metering market here in North America. And through my discussions with Patrick, Patrick and I met at a conference, utility management conference, not this year, but the year before. And he talked about Sebeca. He said, you should have a look at this company, Sebeca, that we are partnered with. And I had a look at Sebeca and I was like, well, this looks like a real type of radical innovation here for the US in terms of smart metering, a real opportunity to sort of disrupt the traditional approaches. And so, you know, Patrick and I began to talk and he eventually became and took that position as CEO of Sebeca. And at that point, they were looking for some institutional investment. And I went back to Suez and said, you know, is this a possibility for us to make a Series A investment in Sebeca? And we began to really try to explore that and look for partners here in the market. And ultimately, we brought a consortium together to invest in Sebeca. And so that took place in March of this year. And we're now a partial owner of Sebeca and working closely with Patrick on how we can collaborate together, bringing some of the expertise of Suez globally in the smart metering space and the IoT technology that Sebeca brings here for the North American market.
Terrific. Well, thanks for that background. Before, I'd love to talk a little, get into the Series A investment and what how that came about. But before we get there, Patrick, can you just give us a little bit on kind of the smart metering market, kind of what, and I know you're an IoT company that's dedicated to water, but smart metering seems to be dominating so far. So can you just explain kind of the market you're going after here?
Sure. So there's a couple of things, David. When I was at Amazon, I don't want to say it was a frustration, but I definitely saw an opportunity in the market. So, and I don't want to bore people on the podcast with all the Bluefield data on metering or Gartner data. It's however, you know, one of the things that's always, I know a number of professionals that feel this way, that's tough when you're at like an Arcadis where I was, or you're at a, you're at an Amazon, you typically only end up working with a handful of utilities that can afford the technology, right? You're dealing with there's, as we all know, over 50,000 water utilities in just in the United States. And you're really working with about 400 of them, you know, on technological innovation. And there's a massive demand out there in the market for good technology, simple technology to get in the hands of everyone. And so when I joined Sebeca, one of the first things we did was we threw out the company's tagline and pivoted away from this idea of, you know, advanced analytics in digital to something that was just very simple, because I felt the product market fit for the company was just, it was simplicity, not digital revolution. And so the interesting thing about the smart metering market, right, is the number of utilities that haven't been able to get their hands on it, right? They're dealing with they just don't have the money, or the technology is just too complicated, or they're dealing with aging, kind of their workforce is, they don't have the workforce to implement these types of things. So, so that's really the part of the market that we're going for. Now, that said, some of the largest utilities in the United States are beta testing our products right now, because everybody needs a simple solution out there. So even companies that are out there and they've deployed large AMI installations, they could say, hey, you know, we've got, you know, DC Water, for example, has, I think, you know, 10,000 meters or so that just can't connect to the Aclara network because it's such a dense area. So being able to have technology that works a little bit differently, that can provide like infill for the large utilities, that's part of the market. But I would say, you know, it's really the mid-size market, the, you know, utilities that have 50,000 meters, you know, down and below, 70,000 meters and below. Those are people that really need to get their hands on technology, but it has to be really, really simple. It has to be easy to install. It has to be easy to buy. We need to blow through some of those barriers.
Absolutely. So I understand that it's a simple solution, but can you talk a little about, or one of you talk a little about, what exactly the product is? How do you achieve how do you achieve that simplicity?
Yeah. So our first product that's the one that is gaining a lot of interest right now is our smart meter register. So in the United States, there are hundreds of thousands of positive displacement meters that are at residential locations that are, older, where it's analog technology, it's not digital. And you have a utility that's out reading those meters manually. So maybe reading them monthly, bi-monthly, or even quarterly. So our device is very, very simple. You pop the old register off and you put our register on. And so one of the really interesting things one of the things that we decided to do in the last year was, when I joined, as is typical in the metering market, a lot of the metering companies have, say, a tablet that's that's about $5,000. And, meter readers, they drop them, the things happen to them, and it's just an expensive piece of kit that nobody really, that doesn't provide a lot of value. So everybody's got a phone in their pocket. So we've made our technology, so when you install the device you literally just quarter turn, it's not even a full screw on, you quarter turn our device onto a positive displacement meter, that's ready to go. And with a phone app that we've created, that just takes a couple of minutes to install that device. And then what we've done, which makes it really simple, is we're the only water company right now that has Amazon Sidewalk technology built into our devices. And so for those that don't know, Amazon Sidewalk is the world's largest, most secure, free IoT network that's out there. So when a utility wants to test our product, it's very easy. You can take one device or three devices and throw it in the back of your F-150 and drive around neighborhoods and see how it's picking up the Amazon Sidewalk signal. And you don't pay for that. There's no infrastructure. You don't have to put up a tower. You don't have to put up gateways. You don't have to, pay for cellular costs. The network runs off of all of the Amazon Ring doorbells and all of the Amazon Echo devices that have been deployed worldwide. So it's only turned on in the United States right now. But you can imagine how simple that is for a utility who wants to, who's maybe thinking about, remote metering. Maybe they're like, hey, look, it's taking us 4 days to do our meter reads, and I've got a small staff, and this is a a burden to us. If they can take a device out of the box and they don't have to do anything, it's just a scan a QR code and you're ready to go. That's a simple technology, and it's free, so that's even simpler. So
what about the cyber aspects of that? Is it because there's a lot
Amazon Sidewalk is, when I just a minute ago described Amazon Sidewalk, I didn't say it's the world's largest free IoT network. I said it's the world's most secure network. Amazon Sidewalk is incredibly secure, triple encrypted, and on the application layer, at the device layer, it's very, very solid. And then all of our devices have LoRaWAN as well and long range Bluetooth, and those the cybersecurity aspects of those protocols are very well understood. So very very high on cybersecurity. On cybersecurity, David, even to go a little bit deeper here, you would be hard pressed to find many, if there are any of them, I'm not sure of them. Many water companies that actually make their own IoT module. Most of the companies out there in water tech, because they're not tech companies, they're actually sourcing their IoT modules from somewhere else. And so for right now, if you were trying to build if you were trying to build something that had Sidewalk functionality, a lot of these water tech companies are forced into using a module that's sourced from China, like say the Quectel module. And for product market fit, we don't want to have that, particularly for North America and Europe. We want our chips are sourced from ST Microelectronics in France, and we provision all the devices in Richardson, Texas. So we've really, for cyber reasons, we want to have total control of our IoT module. Now, if a piece of wire comes from somewhere else, hey, that's fine. But anything that's got logic to it, we need to have 100% control over. So one of our real differentiators is in our what's known as our Blink module, which is provisioned right in Richardson, Texas.
Got it. So let's pivot back to the investment angle that Josh kind of brought up. Could you talk about the uniqueness of the investment, Josh, in terms of how and I Suez is not the only investor. There are other investors that have come along, I understand. But can you talk about how unique the investment is in the Series A investment in Subeca?
Sure. I think what makes it unique is that, you know, when we started, I certainly had interest in investing on Suez's behalf. And when we started to talk to Patrick about, you know, what sort of investment they would like in this first Series A round, they were after $6 million US dollars. And so we were unable to do that just purely from the Suez side of things. And so I started engaging with Patrick and other VCs around who might want to be part of this consortium. And so we very quickly understood that there were quite a number of potential investors that were interested in this in Subeca. And so we started talking to them and tried to understand their motivations and what might be, you know, a potentially good fit and good consortium that could add the most value to Subeca and give them the best chance for success. You know, Subeca at this point is a pre-revenue company. They've got great technology and a couple of existing customers, but, you know, really someone that could help accelerate their entry into the marketplace. And so in the end, the consortium has been established as Suez together with Amazon Climate Pledge Fund and Burnt Island Ventures. And so, you know, Burnt Island Ventures is a well-known, you know, financial investor in the water space. They've got a lot of other investments in the space with collaborative technology. So they were a great one. Christine Boyle is leading that from the Burnt Island Ventures space. We also had some extensive talks with Amazon Climate Pledge Fund. They're a strategic investor who is really interested in looking at ways that they can improve the sustainability for Amazon more generally. Obviously, Amazon is a huge user of water, and they're looking to, you know, through this investment, be able to get a much clearer picture of the footprint of water that they use globally. So, you know, as a strategic investor in Subeca and using the Subeca IoT platform, they're going to be able to get that understanding of their water footprint and look for opportunities to reduce that footprint and to conserve water and ultimately contribute to the sustainability of Amazon moving forward. And so, you know, we had to look at the different investors and what they could bring. I guess a little bit more from the Suez side, we were interested in gaining that entry into the US market. We were really looking for a partner. Suez is a strategic investor. We have an evergreen fund that we invest from. It was a bit of a little different of an investment for Suez, though, in the sense that Suez is a strategic investor that technically invests in companies that they can ultimately be a buyer of their technology. And in the case of Subeca, because it's, you know, Amazon Sidewalk is initially only here in the United States, this is not going to be an example of where Suez can buy, you know, 10,000 devices from Subeca and install them in their operations here in North America. The idea behind this investment for Suez is really related to the software side of things and offering our analytics to pair with Subeca's IoT platform and bring that to the US market. So bring something that's already established where we can gain insights on water usage, gain insights on where leaks are in the networks, combine that with the Subeca offering and bring a more holistic value chain to the market here in North America.
All right. That Great answer, Josh. Patrick, what about you? What is your, from the more IoT side, technology side, how do you view the investment?
Yeah. So from my standpoint, this was the syndicate we wanted. We obviously over much of 2023, I talked to a number of venture capital firms. However, if you go back to if even before I joined, the weekend before I joined Subeck, I sat down with the board and kind of outlined a strategy around the Series A run raise. And back then I said, my ideal, the ideal syndicate would be Suez combined with Amazon, particularly for what we were doing. And then with the third leg of that stool being being someone very specific, a VC from the water, water investing, and that for us was probably always going to be Burn Island, because they give you such great amplification in the market. So I had specifically with Suez, I had a unique opportunity to be in the middle a little bit. I guess not in the middle, but sitting at a very close seat on the sidelines to what went on with Veolia and Suez, and understood both companies very well and got to know Josh during that time. That combined with Amazon, and Amazon expressed some interest in us early on, really brings a powerful combination to us in that, one, as a startup, you're able to go to a company and say, well, we're backed by Suez and by Amazon. And that, if you're in the water space, I mean, that really means something. That's a very interesting conversation. Most water utilities, when we go in, even on the sales side, when you mention that, they kind of say, what are you doing? What's going on there? And, so it gives us a lot of credibility, as well as the other, the other aspects that Josh brought up in terms of having, the Suez infrastructure and the team and the everything behind that.
Yeah.
Amazon as an investor, I'm sure you can imagine, it was really almost terrifying on the day that they put the Subeca logo up on Climate Pledge's website, because we're right next to Rivian. So I was like, whoa, okay, we're not in Kansas anymore. And but we get a lot from Amazon, right? We get first crack at their technology. We've kind of got, a little bit of keys to the kingdom. We get to test their stuff out. We'll be very integrated with them on some future tech that they're going to be rolling out that'll be very important for smart cities. And they're just a really good partner to have. I mean, if you're trying to, particularly the question, when I would talk to people about the investment thesis, people would say, well, you're really trying to, in many ways, disrupt the purchasing, right? Because we're going after part of the market that's been very, very underserved. And I would maintain that, if you have Amazon on your team and you're looking to sell, across the world to that underserved community, people who haven't had access to technology, having someone like Amazon is just a great partner to help you get there. And then, from Burn Island standpoint, Christine and Tom and the whole team at Burn Island, Steve, everybody is, they're so entrenched in water and they have so much kind of inside knowledge. They're a great partner to have. I think that this syndicate is one of the more interesting syndicates that's been put together in water in the last decade.
Patrick, can you talk a little more about and kind of get into the regulatory landscape, market dynamics for how you're seeing the solutions that Subeca is offering, get integrated into utilities?
Sure. So, and again, with the way that we've architected, and we start with our Blink module, right? We make it and everything goes, everything falls from there. So as far as the market for metering, right? There certainly are regulatory pressures in many of these places, but a lot of them are just business pressures, David. There's a lot of these smaller utilities are spending, like I mentioned before, a couple of days a month to do their reads. Some of them aren't getting data for 3 to 4 months. And, you know, so if they've got a leak out there, you know, they're not, they may not find it for 3 months. They may not even know anything about it. So, so getting, you know, reducing truck rolls, reducing non-revenue water, increasing operational efficiency, those are very real drivers in the metering market. And then because we're not just a meter company, we're able to kind of quickly deploy new products, right? Because we've already built the baseline. We've already built out our IoT platform. And I think that's the investment thesis that that Josh and in particular Burn Island is very interested in. And that's the scalability of our system. So if you look at, you can look at even kind of very, very regional things out there. I think, you know, for example, the state of New Jersey and some of their, you know, they had some Legionella outbreaks and in, you know, and whether or not we agree that this is the right regulatory path to go down, they certainly, it looks like they're going to start requiring some of the utilities there to have some type of residual chlorine information from their system. And so for us to be able to react quickly and build a chlorine sniffer onto our IoT network is just not that heavy of a lift for what we've already built. So we're able to react to some of those more, you know, just smaller little parts of the regulatory market, but we'll be able to kind of help companies get there.
Yeah. So let me ask this. So, you know, you're serving and trying to serve an underserved part of the market. How does a small rural water utility, let's say they do the half turn onto the regulator,
yep.
the register. And so what exactly happens next for that small rural water utility after they've
so we have a SaaS platform that they can, you know, that they get with that. So they'll be able to see their data. They'll be able to set alerts and alarms and say, you know, we've got low flow here. We've got backflow here. We've got a high flow situation here. We'll be able to have analytics. And again, we're not doing a tremendous amount with AI because a lot of our market, you know, either they've already got it or, you know, they don't need to cut this with, you know, with a surgeon's scalpel. They need a blunt instrument. So we have some leak detection there. We'll be doing more of that, you know, out on the edge, not actually backhauling the data, to the utility. We'll actually do it right on the device itself. That'll be 2025. So that's the stuff that they'll be able to do. And then they'll be able to import that data into their billing software, you know, and increase their, you know, generally you're seeing, you know, the 6 to 8% increase in revenue when you move to smart metering. So that's certainly their journey.
Got it. So Josh, let me turn to you. I know I've kind of neglected you for a few minutes here. What do you see as kind of the future in terms of the trends and opportunities that technologies like this are going to offer?
I think for me, it's the simplicity of it. I think for water utilities, particularly here in North America, where you have such a diversified market in terms of size of utility and challenges, you know, utilities understand that digital technologies can help them. And I think they're looking for technologies in the marketplace, but it's going to be a journey. And the simpler it is to deploy these digital solutions, I think the better. And I think Subeca provides a simple alternative to what's out there on the market right now in terms of IoT technologies. The beauty of the Sidewalk network is that it's available to all. And, you know, you don't need to put up those radio towers. You don't need that other infrastructure that requires a very large investment. You can connect pretty much straight away. And so I see that there's going to be this growth in terms of adoption for a solution that's simpler. I think from, you know, the perspective of specifically with Subeca, I think their ability to access the North American market will be complemented by the evolution of this internationally. Whether or not Sidewalk ends up in other countries is a different question, but I think the simplicity, the idea that Subeca has can be extended even today into other markets through their connectivity with LoRaWAN. So I think we'll see adoption of this solution internationally. I also think we'll see other combinations that contribute to Sebeca. So through partnerships with the likes of Suez, but perhaps others as well, you know, we will look to add analytics and other technologies that can improve the overall benefit that the utility is going to receive from this type of investment. So, you know, starting to understand your water usage data, then having a look at perhaps initiatives that can reduce water usage and being able to, at the edge, understand where your water is being used and perhaps whether or not these initiatives are actually being effective or not is something that we've seen implemented in places like France and Spain and has given, you know, water utilities and government entities a more, I guess, you know, concrete understanding of whether or not those initiatives are actually working. So I see that's going to be part of the future here for Sebeca, is really giving, you know, utilities more access to the data from their customers that can ultimately help benefit the customer. I had a great example of a problem myself 2 years ago at Christmas. I was in Australia and my water meter burst and failed and I knew nothing about it. I wish that at that time I had an app on my phone that would alert me if I had such an event while I was not at home to observe it. So these are the types of things I want to see happen for the water industry here in North America. And I'd like access to as a customer myself.
Got it.
Yeah. David, if you don't mind, if I kind of expand on that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, one of the things that I hear from people in the market, people who have been around for a long time. And this is one of the things, it's like, the more I hear people, I'm like, you know, I think people need to think different about this, or they need to care different about this. But when we talk about the Sebeca technology, sometimes other people will say, well, yeah, Sidewalk is interesting, but it's not as good as, you know, cellular or some of the other solutions out there. And, you know, you're never going to get a service level agreement on that. And I would agree with them 100%. You're not going to get an SLA off of something like a network like Sidewalk. But that response just tells me that people just are just going to continue to neglect the small market, because a lot of these utilities that we go to and we talk to, they don't care about a service level agreement. That's something that's kind of exclusive for the larger, more well-funded utilities. These are utilities, I bring it up again, who they don't get their data for 3 months. They get no data, and they've got people out in the field with clipboards, and they're opening pit lids, and they're writing numbers down, and those numbers get transposed, and they bring them back, and then somebody has to enter them into, you know, manually enter them into a billing system. So technology that's out there that's easy to use for that market and is cost effective, you know, that you're not paying for cellular, that's, you have a free technology, that's a game changer for these people. That's, you know, when we have several defined beachhead markets that we're very focused on. One of the defined beachhead markets that we are not focused on at all yet, because we're just not there, at least we thought we weren't there, was the ultra smalls, right? These are people like HOA communities that have 200 meters, but they own their well, and they're required by the regulatory reasons or just the fact that they've got 200 people, they meter their water. We have people calling us who are finding out about Sebeca and saying, hey, you know, I'm a small HOA. How do I get this? This might be the only thing that will work for us, because they can buy it online and they can install it themselves. And then their volunteer water department doesn't have to go out, you know, once every 3 months and read the meters manually.
Got it.
So there's just definitely something there that there's, you know, probably 40,000 water utilities or water systems, however you don't want to divide them, that actually need this technology.
Terrific. Well, guys, you have been absolutely fantastic. Patrick and Josh, thank you so much for your time today. For those who want to find out more about Sebeca and the investment made by Suez et al., where can they go to get that information?
Sure, David. Well, you can always go to the Sebeca website, sebeca.com. You also follow me or Josh on LinkedIn, and you can certainly connect with us, I think, through LinkedIn.
Perfect. Well, guys, again, you've been absolutely fantastic. I've learned a tremendous amount, and it's very exciting what you're up to. So until next time, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye now. Bye.
Phenomenal interview by Josh and Patrick. The Sebeca Smart Meter solution sounds like just a terrific AMI solution for all those small and medium, mid-sized water utilities out there, not to mention the larger systems. They're really out there to make water simpler. So thank you, Josh and Patrick. Great job. Well, I'd love to know what you thought about that interview. Please check out the show notes page for information and links on this episode. Just Google the Water Values Podcast. Click the first link that comes up. That's our landing page on the Bluefield Research website. Of course, you know that Bluefield Research and the Water Values LLC are not affiliated entities. We just have a joint marketing arrangement. And as part of that, Bluefield Research gives us a home on the web. Well, you can email me at david.mcgimsey@dentons.com, and you can sign up for the newsletter at that landing page I mentioned earlier as well. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you make it a great day. Plus, I want to give a huge thank you to our sponsors again. Sponsors of the Water Values Podcast include Woodard & Curran, Intera, Xylem, the American Water Works Association, Black & Veatch, 120 Water, Advanced Drainage Systems, and 1898 & Co. And this show would not be possible without those great companies and industry leaders. And I thank you all for listening and for subscribing to the Water Values Podcast. Your support is truly appreciated. In closing, please remember to keep the core message of the Water Values Podcast in mind as you go about your daily business. Water is our most valuable resource, so please join me by going out into the world and acting like it.
You've been listening to the Water Values Podcast. Thank you for spending some of your day with my dad and me.
Well, thank you for tuning in to the disclaimer. I'm a lawyer licensed in Indiana and Colorado, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as providing legal advice or as establishing an attorney-client relationship with you or with anyone else. Additionally, nothing in this podcast should be considered a solicitation for professional employment. I'm just a lawyer that finds water issues interesting and that believes greater public education is needed about water issues. And that includes enhancing my own education about water issues, because no one knows everything about water.